In a travel magazine that I found a couple of months ago, this little short article entitled The Psychology of Awe, A-W-E. It said, we've all been blown away by something, but what does the sense of awe really do to your brain? A study suggests that experiencing awe can increase your tolerance to risk, boost creativity, combat stress by putting the brain in a state of bliss. It can even reshape our feelings about the future. A finding the study authors, the authors hope will lead to using awe to help people heal psychologically. This is not a psychological lesson tonight. Don't get concerned. I will tell you though, over the years, I've read these kinds of things and catch my attention because I do believe that there are Bible principles that actually say something about our mental and emotional and spiritual health. Simply put, a sense of awe is good for us spiritually. I want to tell you, this lesson took a different turn for me. You know, as I read that, and Betsy and I were anticipating this trip made together, and thinking about some places where we've been and have gone and things we've seen. We're back to Yosemite, traveled down the Pacific Coast Highway, made a couple other ventures in which we were able to see some things that we wanted to see, Donner's Pass over the Sierras on I-80 from Sacramento headed into Nevada to Reno. We didn't stop in Reno. Don't anybody get concerned. Not a place I wanted to be. And I was thinking about, as we anticipated, seeing a couple of places we've seen before. Well, how was this experience going to affect me? Well, as I worked on this lesson, I have to tell you that it took a different turn. First of all, this is not a vacation report. That's not why you're here. There are no pictures because I don't want to be a distraction. It was humbling. Because I want to assure you tonight that what I believe you and I can experience in this business of having a sense of awe is you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to leave home to have what I believe the Bible describes as having this sense of awe. I'm going to say to you, we need to have it. What do you find awesome? What or who are you in awe of? What amazes you? What causes you to just stop and marvel, to be amazed? Some suggest, and I think with a good bit of wisdom, in fact, I just remember one night talking about it, and Clyde mentioned it in a Bible class. I've heard others suggest this too, that the word awesome has become so overused in our day and time that it's kind of lost its meaning and sometimes lost the meaning in Scripture, in particular in regards to how it is used in the description of God Himself. And that may be a little bit debatable, but I tend to agree with it. I was walking in Kingston Springs one time and I watched two young boys as I was coming down the sidewalk and towards the park, and they were on a skateboard and they had a little ramp up there, and I'm guessing that ramp maybe 3 or 4 inches. And in front of me, one of those young men took the skateboard and just went up over the ramp and landed on the skateboard. And you would have thought he had won a gold medal, and then he looked at him and said, that is awesome. That is just awesome. And first of all, I thought he apparently hasn't watched many of the X Games on ESPN, you know, that if he thought that was awesome, you know, watch these guys, what they do with the skateboard. And so I get it. I understand sometimes that to us, some of the silliest things, some of the most trivial things seem to capture people's attention. We ought to be in awe of God. And I think there are two primary reasons. And that is because, first of all, of His creation. Now, well, Betsy and I enjoyed some of that this week, the last couple of weeks. And I'll just mention one of those, and that for some reason 2 years ago, and maybe it was the anticipation, maybe it was the way we came into Yosemite, but 2 years ago it was like, well, this is pretty amazing, but maybe not as much as what I anticipated. It kind of grew on us. And so we went back a week ago. And this time we came to Glacier Point first. And there's a turn right before you get to the parking area of Glacier Point, which is up above looking down the valley. And a road makes a bend before you get in the parking lot. And as you make that bend, all you see is Half Dome. 8,000 foot of elevation. You can hike it if you want. You have to get a permit. And as you pull up, that's all you saw. And we made the bend, and then all of a sudden it just, the valley dropped off the side of the road. And then made the bend and went up the parking lot. And I think this time it had the reaction others had told me about. It moved us both to emotion and tears and just, wow, wow. And so I think those moments are good for us, but I'm telling you, I don't think you have to go to Yosemite to see that. I want to show you some passages in Psalms that does say to us clearly that the creation of God ought to create in us, cause us to be a people who are in awe of Him and find Him truly to be an awesome God. In Psalm 33, in a context clearly talking about the natural or the physical creation around us. Listen to what the psalmist has to say. Let's begin in verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the habitations of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. You need to appreciate the creation of God. Now listen to me. Do that in your backyard too. There may be some areas that are mind-blowing in the scope and the size and the grandeur of those things, but I think there are places and things even here that can make us vividly aware of the creative imagination and power of God. Look for them. Look for those things. Let's think about that. We'll think about that in just a moment. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. It's kind of hard not to do. Psalm 68, verse 35. 68:35. And I'm just now looking at some psalms in which are that describe the psalmist's attitude about God and how he felt about Him and this sense of awe that he had. In 68:35, O God, You are more awesome than Your holy places. The God of Israel is He who gives strength and power to His people. Blessed be the God. David apparently wrote this. What were the holy places to David? It wasn't a temple that he had built because he wasn't allowed to build a temple. Was it the tabernacle that he saw built and constructed and taken down and constructed and now had been set up? And was that what he was thinking about? Was he thinking about what the Lord said to him when David wanted to build a temple and the Lord told him? He said, I've never told my children, I've never told you that I needed this place to live in. Suggesting, I say to you, that it wasn't important to him. The tabernacle was entirely sufficient to do what God wanted to be done by the people and their relationship with Him. They didn't need a grandiose temple like Solomon was going to build. And I read this, and I think he understood, you're more awesome than a place. and even the temple, the place of worship. There's another one I want to look at with you just briefly in Psalm 106 and verse 22, in which the psalmist is recounting the things that God did bringing his people out of Egypt. And he says to them in verse number 22, wondrous works in the lands of Ham or Egypt. Awesome things by the Red Sea. These are things God had done. Verse 21. Great things he had done. And then the second thing is creation. And we're going to talk about both of these again in more detail in just a moment. But first of all, there's the creation. There's God himself that we ought to be in all of. And one of those reasons because of his what he's created. And the second is because of his voice. Because of what he said. Because of what he's spoken. In Ezekiel 43, when Ezekiel saw wondrous things and pictures and images and some of these obviously very figurative. In Ezekiel 43 and verse 2, he describes the voice of God. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Remember that for just a moment, and I want to read another passage to you that describes Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 15. And perhaps you will remember this one a little more than the passage in Ezekiel. His feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. Now I have to tell you, as I read those passages, I think about waterfalls falling 2,700 feet and the sound of the water hitting the rocks at the bottom, the waves of the sea. And all of that is helpful in moments, but there are waterfalls a lot closer to us. There are mountain streams a lot closer to us, and sometimes there may just be something smaller in scope in the area. But it suggests power, suggests grandeur. It suggests God speaking to us and it being sometimes almost overwhelming. Silences us, causes us just for a moment to just hush and go, wow. And that's the reaction a good-hearted person has when he's listening to the voice of God. I think the question is, do we have the same awe for his word as we do his creation? And I have to tell you, part of the humbling lesson, part of this lesson for me is it all or is it just the anticipation of having a good time? And it needs to be more of that. And I do want to sense the awe. I want to have that, wow, what an amazing, powerful, majestic God that we serve. But the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 161, that in time of trouble, when he was being persecuted, when he was being pursued by his enemies, when princes and other, when kings were after him, this is what he said in verse 161 of Psalm 119. Princes persecute me without a cause. But my heart stands in awe of your word. I have good news for you. This awe that is possible to be in our hearts and deeply embedded in our hearts can be found anytime, any place, when we really open our hearts to what God has said in this book. You and I are going to talk to people and study with people that are never going to be able to do what Betsy and I did the last couple of weeks. And that's humbling to me. We're going to be able to help them experience, help them have this sense of awe. And we do that by opening the pages of the Bible and sharing with them the great story of God himself, making himself known to his creation with the hopes that he would save us. So my first point is, what do you find awesome? I think those two things, his creation that you can see in your backyard, if you look and study and think about it, and secondly, his word. Now, let's tie into that this question. What did Jesus find awesome? What impressed him? What wowed him? When you read about his life, what got his attention? What caused him for a moment to go, wow? And try to communicate to his hearers, this is something you ought to revel in. This is something you ought to just find great majesty in these things. Well, let me suggest the same two things I've already mentioned. That he himself would have said to us, that we ought to marvel at God's creation. But what he's saying to us, I believe in Luke chapter 12, is we ought to marvel in creation way more than wealth and power and human achievement. Sometimes I need to be reminded that all of the works of men, excuse me, will be burned up someday, 2 Peter chapter 3, everything that man has done. All of the church buildings, been in the news recently, as we perhaps mentioned earlier in our study of Hebrews, an 800-year church building in Paris burning. It's going to burn now, it's going to burn later. It's all going to be burned up. Museums and Hall of Fames, all of those things are going to be burned up. As I thought about that, I remember the apostles coming to the Lord in Mark 13, verses 1 and 2, and being in a sense of awe at the temple that was still even under construction at that time, as Herod was allowing the Jews to rebuild the temple, actually doing it for them. And the apostles were like, wow, look at these buildings, look at this. And Jesus stunned them by saying he was way more concerned about the hearts of the worshipers. And that because the hearts of the worshipers weren't right, there was a time coming that that temple would be leveled. I'm reminded in Acts 17 and verse 24 that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. We don't have to build buildings in order to be enamored by God. In fact, if we look at buildings, we're not enamored with God. We're enamored with the human ability to build things. Doesn't lead us into an actual heart of being in awe of him. We end up walking away in awe of, wow, look at what man did here, instead of what God did. And we'll tell you that last Sunday, Betsy and I had the privilege of worshiping with six other Christians in the city of San Francisco, two young men and their wives, and one of them with a little boy, moved there about a year ago to begin a work and work of the Lord in what some consider to be a very difficult place. I appreciate these young men having the desire to work together and to go there and to preach the gospel. They baptized a couple of folks in the last 6 months or so. The Sunday that we were there last week, one of those that had just been baptized a few months ago was moving because her husband's job was moving them to another place. And I just to sit there and see the emotion of these two young men and their families, and you know, it's hard when you're about six people and you're losing one of them. But we got to eat the Lord's Supper together with them and just worship together. And I believe with all of my heart that God accepted my worship and the worship of everybody in that room if their hearts were right. It was in the living room of one of those young men and his wife. I don't know, they'll ever get to the point someday there'll be so many of them, they'll have to find a place. That'll be a challenge in San Francisco. Pray for them, Josh. Bet you'd have to help me later. But Josh Carter and Josh Lewis and their wives. Josh and Katie Carter. And Josh Lewis and his wife. But I just want you to appreciate that God's not awed by the place. He's awed by the heart. We ought to be not awed by the place, but awed by the God we serve, wherever that may be. I think in Romans 13, the warning not to be in awe of the Roman Empire. They were in awe of the power of the empire. What happened to it? Gary Kerr, in a lesson a while back, shared a story. He said the reason the Romans built the roads they built was to facilitate the moving of their troops from one place to another, to get them there quickly. And those roads were a symbol of power to them. And he shared with us something that I didn't realize. It was the basic reason for building the interstates in this country, was to facilitate the movement of our military in case of war. And it became kind of a symbol of power, a symbol of let's get them from here to there as quickly as we can. Gary was even saying that in some cases where he had read, and I haven't been able to verify this, but some places there needed to be so many miles flat, straight enough highway so you could land airplanes. And another part of that was to get people out of the cities in case of nuclear attack during the Cold War. But I thought about that, and he used the illustration that to the Romans, that road was a symbol of power. The Appian Way was a symbol of power. I'm thankful for those roads, by the way. I'm thankful for how that facilitates our being able to travel from one place to another and do so rather quickly. But none of that should be a picture of us, of a nation that's made strong by our infrastructure. We understand that a nation will only be strong in the presence of God if the people of the nation have a heart for the things of God. I'm afraid we would go to a museum to see Solomon's throne, crown, and robe, and some of his riches, but walk right out the front door and take no notice of the flowers that surrounded the building. And Jesus said, pay attention to the flowers in Luke chapter 12. Again, I want to say something to you. You don't have to go to the places we've been to be in awe of creation. Take time to consider the works of God, Psalm 8 and verse 3. Learn lessons from nature. Learn about the ant. If you're lazy, go and read about the ant. Look in Proverbs. There's a couple things here I want to read to you that I just need to appreciate them. And again, there are ants everywhere. You don't have to go to the West Coast. But in Proverbs, two of them, Proverbs 6, and we'll look at Proverbs chapter 30. You know, parents, if your children just aren't getting out of bed early enough and getting to work on time, this would be a good passage to read to them. Say, go to the ant, you sluggard. Lazy one. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer, ruler, provides your supplies in the summer and gathers the food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a robber and your need like an armed man. He just said, pay attention. Look at an ant. Proverbs 30. Teach your children. Slow down. Quit being enamored by human inventions and be more enamored by the creation of God. The proverb writer said, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I just can't comprehend completely, fully understand. The way of an eagle in the air. Is that not still awesome? You can see that in this area. The way of a serpent on a rock. You see in Tennessee a while back, Vanderbilt professor hiking the Mossy Ridge Trail over in Percy Warner. Took the video of that rattlesnake. It went all the way from one side to the other of that trail. And watched it curl up over the log and went over it. But it is kind of neat to stand and watch it if you don't aggravate the snake. It's good to see those things, good to learn from those things. The way of a ship in the midst of a sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. All of those are just things of nature appreciate him. I couldn't help to stand at the on the shore of the Pacific Ocean and just think about people that just take off in a boat. There have been people that have done that all by themselves. I've never been in a boat so far out in the water that you couldn't see land. And just imagine that. I'm trying to imagine the immensity of God's creation. So point number one, the creation of the world did all Jesus if it was just a flower, if it was just an ant, if it was just a snake. We can be in all of those things right here where we are. Secondly, what all Jesus, what impressed him was the faith and the faithfulness of people, sometimes the most unlikely of people. And I just want you to appreciate that. A widow putting two mites into the treasury when that's all that she had, that captures attention. He observed and watched the faithfulness of people. A wee little tax collector, a chief tax collector, if you will, climbing a sycamore tree to see him. Luke 19. The faith of a centurion, a Gentile, a Roman soldier, who before the Gentiles were hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, had come to Jesus and begging for healing for a loved one and telling Jesus, listen, you don't even have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word and it will happen. Those are the kinds of people that we need to appreciate. Paul made a statement, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're thinking about reaching others with the gospel. And I'm encouraged, and I hope these elders are too, by just the little check marks, glanced at it this morning. People trying to invite people, actually inviting people to come and worship with us, inviting people to study with us. I appreciate that. Who we're trying to reach? Paul said this. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Ed Harrell, as some of you know, made the comment some years ago that he had never converted any of his colleagues while being a professor on some major college campuses. I know the University of Auburn and University of Arkansas and some other places where he's taught. He's never been able to teach them. There are not many wise according to the flesh. How many mighty? How many strong physically? How many strong that their strong physicality has led to some glory and honor in this world? How many really famous athletes do you know are believers? How many of the great generals of this country were actually Christians? Some of them may have been. How many people in power or actually been Christians? How many presidents have we had that were Christians? How many people in Congress are actually believers in Jesus and follow the scriptures as carefully as you think they ought to be followed? There's not many. Not many noble. Not many people born into wealth and power and fame. Now listen, that's not a reason not to try, because some of them may listen, but there are going to be better contacts elsewhere. I want to close tonight by telling you the Lord wants faith and faithfulness from all of us regardless of our lot in life. And one of the things that helps my faithfulness is being in all of the faithfulness of others who are in all of the Word of God, gives me hope for my own future. It encourages me. Why else has God given us the stories that He's given us in Scripture? Hebrews 11 that we'll look at Wednesday night, God willing. Story after story of people just like you and me who were faithful to God, who trusted God, who loved His Word, who the Word of God to them was like the sound of rushing waters. Powerful. And they stopped to pay attention to it. And they paid attention to it. And they believed it, and they obeyed it, even to the point of suffering for the cause of God. What are you and I in awe of? I hope it's more than a smartphone. I hope it's more than technology. I hope we're finding a way to be in awe of the same things that Jesus was in awe of. I tell you, it will say a lot about us, how faithful we are to Jesus, about what we are truly amazed by, what we are in awe of, what amazes us. And when we are on the same page as Jesus, then we're going to be a lot closer to having the spiritual, emotional, mental blessings of thinking like God wants us to think. Are you amazed by God's love? Amazed by it? Are you amazed by the cross? Are you amazed by how far Jesus would go? Are you amazed by the words of God's story? The gospel is God's power unto salvation. It is intended to change our hearts. And we think about it and we are amazed by it. May the awe for the God's love for you lead you to faithfulness, that you are willing to respond to His teaching and to obey Him. If you're in awe of God, come to Him and obey His word. Can we help you tonight? I hope we can. Let's sing together, please.